This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Come get your lubes, get your lubricants.
Oh my God.
We got silicone base, flavored lubes, watermelon, mint chocolate chip. What would you like?
Oh my God, all of the above.
We are sponsored by hashtag LubeLife, the best lubricants on the market. They're USDA certified organic.
Oh, they come in different flavors. They have a foaming toy cleaner, which I love.
They are the top rated on Amazon. We cannot recommend these lubes enough. So if you want 20% off your orders of hashtag LubeLife,
go to LubeLife.com, type in code 20COOLMOM, and you'll get 20% off your entire order.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
My mother is a sex expert, cougar, and the world's oldest living millennial.
And my son is a stand-up comic, a mime, and a Buddhist clown.
Together, we have the pleasure of talking about sex twice a week.
And why do we have that pleasure?
Because, well, we fell into this thing. We thought it'd be funny to talk about sex with a mother and son, and then it turned out to be a little more moving than we anticipated.
We're making an impact on people's lives.
Hopefully opening up the conversation and enhancing your pleasure and giving you a laugh.
Oh, definitely the laughter part.
And this episode, I learned so much in, and I'm excited to present an episode with Bryony Cole.
The future of sex.org.
Okay, so Bryony Cole is the world's leading authority in sex tech, or femtech, as people like to say these days.
She talks about sex robots.
But she also talks about all innovation from obvious ones like VR porn to technology used to fight sexual abuse. And in this episode, we get into what she's most excited about with regard to technology, what she thinks is going to just be like standard practice in the future. Of course, I get concerned about what is going to be forgotten, the human connection.
Of course. I wasn't concerned about that. I was more concerned with Henry.
Oh, you were not concerned either. You were getting turned on by the thought of fucking a robot over here.
Henry, they're coming out with a male robot.
Yeah.
Named Henry.
Are you getting one of those?
I don't know. I mean, then we started asking her, you know, is that considered cheating if you're with a male robot or a female robot?
Yeah. What are the new norms that are going to be taking place?
And then we got into something that I was very excited about, that I inspired her to talk about, which was the different phases that sex has gone through in terms of the agricultural phase.
Yeah, we get a little history lesson over here.
Yeah, historical perspective on sex through the ages. And I thought that was really interesting.
And Bryony's the perfect person to talk to because she advises governments, technology, and entertainment companies all related to sex tech. She leads hackathons where my mother intends to invent a...
Don't tell. You have to listen to the Patreon episode.
No, it's actually this podcast episode.
You have to listen to this podcast episode. It's a little teaser. But the main thing is that she is not just like a tech nerd. She's attractive. She's adorable. And no, she's got it all going on.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of her. She's been on Viceland and in all these major publications like Forbes, Wired, TechCrunch, The New York Times, Playboy. She's done it all. She speaks all over the place. So I was so excited that she came on the show.
And she's actually got the cutest Australian accent too.
I love her to pieces. We decided to record a Patreon bonus episode where we take her through our rapid fire questions and get a sexual profile on her. And she was not afraid to open up.
She literally gave us the most original answer to, have you walked in on a parent having sex? So you guys have to listen to the Patreon bonus episode to find out what that one was.
How do they find that?
Go to patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
Yeah. And you can give $3, $5, however much you want. And you get all these, a free entire podcast stream where we get the best creme de la creme of our podcasts that cannot be heard anywhere else.
And obviously at the different levels, going from $3 on up, you get more and more bonus content and special surprises like handwritten notes from Cam and I.
And stickers.
And stickers. So you want to go into the larger donations.
patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. Also, we're doing a little, you guys know, we're doing the campaign that if we get 50 patrons, we will take blueberries infused with marijuana edibles together, and we'll eat them on the show.
And we'll do a podcast episode that you guys are going to be laughing your asses off.
Yes. All right. I want to say thank you to our newest reviewer on iTunes.
And what is it?
This is from Lydia SF. Amazing. 5 stars. I love this podcast. I recommend it to everyone. For work, I spend a great deal of time driving, so I listen to this in the car, and it's hilarious. It is totally engaging and interesting, and the dynamic between Cam and Karen Lee is fantastic. It's a unique chemistry that's both kind of peculiar and adorable. I appreciate their open-mindedness and the variety of topics they cover. These two have helped me greatly. Please keep doing what you do.
Lydia, man, you know what I liked about that? She shares it with a friend, because a lot of people are just listening in their private little stash of binging that they're going through, but no one's sharing it. And if you don't share it, we can't get exposure. And we need exposure in order to keep doing this.
An easy way to share this with a friend is to record on Instagram wherever you are listening to our podcast. Whatever you're doing, you're working out, you're masturbating, you're and take a video or a picture and tag us, and we will repost it on our Instagram. Maybe not your dick pics. Lydia, you made our day.
You did, Lydia.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to everyone who's written reviews in the past. It really helps us. And if you haven't written a review, it takes 2 minutes. Just go to the iTunes tab and write a little review for us.
Yeah. Mom, I think we need to jump into this episode, Brian.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the very unique technologies.
Yes, she did it. She did it.
I was thinking in advanced technologies ending in E.
Wow, there was preparation. This is how you know it's going to be a really good episode. I hope you enjoy. Bryony Cole, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
We are so excited to have you here.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, you are one of our favorite experts, especially when it comes to sex tech. And I wanted to see if you can explain to our listeners what sex tech is all about in a nutshell.
Thank you. Yeah. So sex tech, I think the first thing that comes to mind when we think of sex tech, we're like robots or VR porn. But sex tech is actually much more than that. So the proper definition of sex tech is any technology designed to enhance sexuality. So when we think about that, sexuality is a lot more than just doing it. Sexuality is also sex education, sexual health, crime and violence reporting, human trafficking, medicine, and of course, pleasure, relationships, dating and intimacy. And then you cross that with technology. So apps for reporting on campus assault, as well as teledildonics for relationships.
Yeah, I mean, this part interests me a lot.
What did you just say?
Teledildonics.
You're going right into that.
Yeah,
I was thinking just the vibrator. Is that considered?
Vibrators are part of teledildonics.
Okay.
So they are.
I heard dildo in that. Teledildo.
So,
telephone dildo.
Yeah.
A communicating dildo.
So teledildonics are connected vibrators and cock sleeves, or, you know, connected sex toys. So they could be connected over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. You could be in the other room. Your boyfriend could be in New York or Dubai, and he could control your vibrator with his cock sleeve or through an app.
Cool. A cock sleeve.
And I think people are using this in chat room. What was it called?
Webcamming.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing about teledildonics, A, it sounds so sci-fi and cool, mm-hmm. and B, the marketing is all around it being for couples in long-distance relationships. Uh-huh. But when we look under the research, the main majority use is in camming. So
yeah.
That's sort of where it gets really interesting, because they build in these features like lights on the vibrators and things that, so you can control from home if you're watching someone through a webcam that's got a teledildonic on, and you can tip the guy or girl and it lights up, and there's all sorts of ways you can control what she's doing, what he's doing.
It's
and,
so bonkers.
And guy, I'm just saying girls or guys, but guys, I'm just saying guys.
I just don't know many guys that webcam, but I'm sure they do. No, that's what I'm, more for the gay market than for women.
Yeah, so I'm a heterosexual guy, whatever. He's on his couch and he gets off on stimulating the girls, knowing he had some like way to physically control her. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Okay, so here's what
is that a turn on for you?
No, not really.
You would not be interested in doing that?
I think webcamming to me would... I have never really tried it, but...
I saw someone webcamming right outside my window. I couldn't believe it.
How do you know they were webcamming?
I saw them.
Do you mean you saw them?
I saw them. My boyfriend Deez and I were looking outside and we're like seeing these two girls like with lights on them.
How do you know this
And
wasn't...
they were naked and they kept like taking more of their clothes off in front of a camera. What do you think's going on there?
It could have been cyber sex. I don't know. How do you know that these are people doing for money?
I'm assuming.
Yeah. All right.
They had lights set up.
Yes, they did.
Seems like a professional.
It was a professional
it did seem
setup.
Like a,
not just Skyping their boyfriend.
No, it did not look like that at all.
Here's my question. Because we're moving, like technology is advancing so much that you have all these different outlets to get your rocks off. Do you think that we're just going to lose the need for... human connection?
Oh, I think that's everyone's fear.
Yeah.
But like it's a very different human connection to getting off, right? To sex. So for the longest time, we've coupled this all together, like intimacy, sex, relationships. This is all part of the same bucket.
Right.
But what you're seeing with technology is, you can get off in many different ways. You can have amazing orgasms. Women can use, air suction technology on their vibrators to have an orgasm in 30 seconds. They don't need anyone else.
I don't really like those, by the way.
The womanizer or the satisfier?
The air sex.
They might be sponsoring us.
This particular type of vibrator, I don't like the suction type of
suction.
Thing. It's a little too intense for me.
You can turn it down.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have all different controls.
You're
going
to have to try it.
I got to give that a second shot.
You should.
You like that there, Brian.
Yeah, much more than anything else. I think because it's so customized and so targeted and it's made for women's bodies. But it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
So you just got to find every flavor in the store.
Every little vagina is like a little snowflake. They're all different. Yeah. But anyway, I would like to go back and to get a little history lesson.
Wait. I still have more questions on this line of thought.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So if this is the case, yes. If this is the case, are we at risk of I was listening to your podcast too. That was they were called in Japan they were called herbivores.
Yes.
What can you describe this a little bit?
So herbivores are 18 to 35-year-old men. It's this class of men that they're now describing who aren't interested in dating anymore and are much more interested in just, marrying Gatebox, the Alexa.
Yes.
We've talked about Gatebox.
Those are the people, that's my demographic on my YouTube channel.
Yes.
In Japan?
Honestly.
Oh my God, 18 to 35-year-old men, not necessarily Japanese though.
But also these are men who are looking to you almost as like a, they're dating you in a way by watching your channel as opposed to interacting with someone they're actually connected
with
in person.
Like giving them any sexual.
I know,
like...
but these are all gradations that we're moving towards,
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because there's a lot of lonely people out there.
There are. And if they could bottle up your essence and put it in a Alexa or a Google Play and just have you kind of like that movie Her.
Yes.
Do you remember that movie Her?
Oh, of course.
It'd just be your voice and they'd be talking to you and you would send them text messages. I mean, this sort of technology exists in Japan where you don't actually have to be intimate with a human. You're almost intimate with technology
it's actually here.
It's here already. Yeah, it's actually sold out.
Are you concerned?
Sold out. Oh my God, you can't even get a little Alexa speaking
girlfriend.
Gatebox, they're called Gatebox.
Would I get a lot of money on that? We need to talk after this podcast.
Yeah, we just
I'm no wonder I'm so poor and I have to go begging on YouTube for a dollar.
Yeah, so do you find this are you concerned about this?
Not really, because I think, first of all, that's great evolution. Those people that don't want to have sex with other people or reproduce, well, they'll eventually die out.
that's the theory of relativity or whatever. That's great. Theory of evolution.
And I think, you know, for the everyday person, like, we still want to be touched. We still want to experience human connection. Of course, I want to experience all different ranges of pleasure. And with technology, there's the ability to even expand your fantasies, right? To create these virtual worlds where you're having sex with the universe or whatever. You know, it's going to expand our consciousness and our mind. But at the end of the day, I'm still a human walking around in this shell and I want to be touched by another human.
Mm-hmm. For me, I think... sorry to cut you off. No. But I was thinking, like, sex is so mental. Like, and I think... then knowing that the other person desires you and vice versa is probably like 90% of sex.
With another person.
With another person.
Yes.
And so that's like something you cannot create with
Yes, you can.
Technology.
Just like in the movie Her. You have this, if, in
no,
fact,
it's not
more.
Conscious.
You have this robot that looks like this gorgeous, lifelike woman who is saying, you're the hottest guy around.
But this is in the back of your mind, you're always like, this is not a conscious thing. This is a robot that it was
now,
programmed
maybe
to
in
do
your
this.
Mind, but maybe in reality,
no,
maybe
they all know.
For the average guy, he's totally fine hearing how awesome he is from a robot.
This is foolish. They can just hire, they can like download, you know, porn to their phone and start playing the audio and say, oh, I'm in the porn. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's why virtual reality porn is so popular, because suddenly you're in the scene.
Right.
And so you don't even have to use your imagination or close your eyes. You actually open your eyes.
Right.
Yeah, we interviewed Ella Darling about that.
Yeah.
But the final frontier, I think, is to actually show the desire, like to know that the other person wants you. And I don't, how are they going to capture that?
And I think that's the special source of what makes humans so magical. That's what separates us from the technology and why I'm not worried. Things like our imagination, our creativity, our sense of mystery, our intuition. How's technology going to replicate that? I don't think it will. But to a point, right? To a point where it can remember your pizza order and it can send you a cute text message and it looks okay. And like if you squint, it's kind of real.
Yeah.
But there is, I think.
And it's only going to get realer.
Yes.
So the sex bots, for example, the sex robots, because I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. I mean, I'm thinking, what are you doing on there, Mom? I'm thinking, if like, would I be jealous if I found out like my boyfriend was having sex with a sex robot that looks very lifelike? Is that considered cheating?
So I think this is a conversation that everyone's going to have to navigate between relationships the same way we do in relationships with porn, right?
Like, yeah.
Some people think watching porn's cheating.
Yeah.
Some people don't. I think it'll be the same thing. Is being Do you? With a, I don't. Oh, do you?
No. Do you?
No.
Especially if I'm watching porn with them. I don't think it's cheating. But there is a point where if the person is watching porn more than they're wanting to have sex with you, I think it could become problematic. But I don't know if it's cheating per se.
Agree.
This is my concern. I am a little concerned that people love the escape and they don't want to do the emotional work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much emotional risk and physical risk associated with having sex and being intimate with someone that they're going to just be like, well, fuck this. I'm going to go to my teledildonic and call it a day.
But maybe they're just doing that for the sex. So my current theory is they're doing that for the sex and maybe a bit of the intimacy or the connection that we're craving, but they'll never get the intimacy that they crave from technology. So if we understand that there are 500 different reasons that we have sex, it's not just for connection. Sometimes we have sex because we're bored or we're anxious.
Yeah, you just want to get off.
Or we just want to get off. Then I have no problem with my partner or me using teledildonics or something
or
else.
Or a porn or a fleshlight.
Mm-hmm.
Or a robot maybe.
Take her out of the wardrobe. I'm creeped out about the robot thing. I don't know. Maybe I have a hard time with that. It's just like kind of weird, I think.
What about if you had one? Because they're building Henry, which is the guy.
Is Henry good looking?
conventionally, I feel like he's more Ken doll, but you can customize him in all the
he's
right
gotta
ways.
He's got to have a little bit of like a little extra
edge.
Yeah, a little inch or something. He can't be perfect.
An extra inch?
Inch or edge?
Ow. Inch? I was thinking a little, I wasn't even thinking sexual even. Speaking of, does Henry have a big dick?
Customizable.
Does it go flaccid to hard, or does it remain hard?
No, I think it goes. It goes to hard. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't really investigated Henry too much.
Henry.
Yeah.
There's so much going on. How did you get into this?
You know what? I would say that I stumbled into it, but I stumbled into it because I was at Microsoft. So I was working in technology already, and I was kind of a fish out of water there. Because I wasn't a technologist. I was much more of a storyteller, communicator. And I came across these guys and they were building VR scent releases in their garage in LA, of all places.
Crazy as it seems.
And so you would put on the VR headset and then this attachment, which would go across your nose, and it would release smells. And so I was like, this is amazing. What's the craziest thing you're working on? And they're like, we're just going to build this thing with two supermodels in a hot tub and wild. I was like, what? Like, yeah, it's gonna be sweet. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these are like some of the smartest guys on the planet working in VR, and you're just gonna be sitting on your couch with a pack of Doritos and smelling supermodels in a hot tub. Fuck. So that was the moment for me where I was like, okay, we've got to do something about this. And I was like, well, what's going to happen to dating and relationships in like 5 years' time when all your technology is everywhere? And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh man.
So I started researching it and started, you know, Future of Sex podcast, just asking anyone that I thought had any insight into sex and technology in the future, what's happening, what's going to happen. And so I'd ask therapists, I'd ask other technologists, entertainers, everyday people, and the podcast kicked off from there. But part of it, a lot of it, I think for me was scary because it was suddenly I was coming out and talking about sex, which I'd never done before.
How old were you at this point?
32. I should have not been scared. You know, you think by that stage you have your voice.
No, I just got my voice at 55.
Well, I think this is the this is the thing. I'd spent the last 16 years not having a voice after being, you know, put down in the workplace or inappropriately touched or sexually harassed, and it made me quiet. Like most women, I think, is the majority are unable to talk about sex or express their sexuality because of these things that start to happen at a very young age and then go right through to, you know, your work environment, where for me people were introducing me as a Barbie doll, or,
well, because you are beautiful,
knocking on the hotel door.
You're not
door
like a tech nerd look. Okay, you're like, you are a look, more of a Barbie doll look. So.
Right. But that's not okay to say that kind of thing. So I felt like I lost my voice. And then when I sort of discovered this, and I thought, I'm going to start this podcast. And then I realized, oh, there's a bigger thing here about women being comfortable talking about sex. And
so your podcast is called?
Future of Sex.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's very bold of you to do that.
Yeah. So that's the story of how it started. And now I've discovered this whole group called Women of Sex Tech, which is, when I started the podcast with 30 women, all building things in the sex tech industry. So they could have been building vibrators, apps, sexual health, Kegel operators. And now there's 250 women. So the industry is growing, and I think the space for women is growing too, which is incredible and also great catalyst. It's like things like the Me Too movement and things that have been
empowering
women.
But at the same time, our society is getting more and more uptight about sex.
Agreed.
As this one part is developing, the other is saying, don't even talk about it.
Wait, what makes you think we're getting more uptight?
Are you kidding, Cam? We can't even put an ad on Facebook because says sex talk with my mom.
That would not have been years ago
I've
either.
I've been demonetized on YouTube, which I was able to get monetization before. If you even mention the word sex, they immediately say you're not good for all the advertisers. It's obvious that we can't even talk about sex in our, I don't want to get into politics or anything else like that, but it's getting more repressed.
I don't know if it's getting more. I don't know if you haven't convinced me it's getting more repressed.
It's getting
I think it's always been repressed.
It's getting even further repressed. Where you can't even talk about it without being, having your, I'm sure you're hit. Social media has shut you down.
Yeah.
And I've heard this so many times, and my channel was shut down and my flagged as adult content and things like that, when it's really just talking about sex.
Oh, I see. So you're saying since the dawn of Instagram or whatever.
Since the dawn of Facebook.
It's become a little more repressed. They've become more stringent.
For sure on YouTube. Yeah. 100%. But it's good to know that these women are banding together.
Yeah.
And talking about sex.
Have to. And I think in another industry, those women would be competing with each other because a lot of them have similar products. But because we all face the same issues, banned on social media, impossible to open a bank account because you've got the word sex in it, really hard to find email providers, you have to come together and figure out solutions together. Otherwise, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
It's great though.
I love this Women of Sex Tech community, by the way.
Good.
It's introduced me to a lot. I met you through that actually.
Yes. Do they allow Cam in there because he's not a woman?
I just started emailing them and they seemed receptive. So
yeah, you don't want to be exclusionary. You can definitely join us.
I'm in.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I have had an idea about a product, which I don't even want to say on the podcast.
Oh my God.
You know where I'm going with this, Cam.
Yes, you have already said it on the podcast.
All right, so I'm going to say it again. And if I hear of anybody doing this, I'll know that they heard my podcast and they stole my intellectual property.
I've already told you there's something out there like this. All right,
I thought of it way before
your pitch. I have a lot of access to investors that are interested in sex tech.
Okay, so I'm always running, in the past, not so much these days, but my vibrators were always running out of batteries.
The worst.
The worst, right? When you're like, oh, I'm going to, and my friends are like, I'm taking the batteries out of my remote controls and, you know, trying to put them in the vibrators and then I'm done, whatever. So I also think it's always good to have an electric toothbrush on hand. So what I thought of...
Hang on, why?
Why? Because I don't use a regular toothbrush.
For sex.
No, but but here's my thought process. As long as you need to have your electric toothbrush and you need to have a vibrator, why not combine the product to have one main stem... Because it's a oblong stem, and then different heads. One for
that's so smart.
Thank you.
That's one, so smart.
One for
you could have one for like your face. Doing your face.
You could do
as
that
well.
Too. Three different heads. One could be for your vagina. One could be for your face.
You
and
could
one for
do
your
a
teeth.
Razor. It would be like the
that
cleaner.
Would be kind of scary if you're fucked up and you pull it out and you're like, whoops, wrong one. I've got the razor going and I wanted it to be, you know, the clit stimulator.
Wow.
But that's my idea.
Genius.
Thank you.
I haven't heard of this. Clean your teeth, clean your face, clean your puss.
Yeah.
Away you go.
It's not even for cleaning. It's just
cleaning.
For vibrating.
Just, it, yeah, you know, well, not cleaning, but like.
You want to keep it clean, obviously, and it's perfect. It's, you know, you got it right there. And
that's so smart.
So
how has this been done before?
Well, I saw this type of thing at like the AVN Awards at one point. Yeah, but you know what? The guy kind of pissed me off anyway, and the thing didn't look that fun to use. So I'm
you're a woman
board.
Designing it.
Woman
guy designing
it
doesn't make sense. If you're a woman designing it, makes total
sense.
We
need to talk.
You're gonna
this.
Make it for your body.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yeah. She's been trying to get my ex girlfriend to design this for her for
this
years
is great.
Now.
Yeah.
No time like the present.
And I've thought about this at least 20, 30 years ago when one of the first electric toothbrush came out. That's when I came up with this idea. I also
along with our sex talk with my mom brand, by the way.
It does.
Yes.
Brush your your mom would say brush your teeth and brush your puss.
This is great. This oh my gosh. Are there any investors listening? This is perfect.
Thank you.
I think you need to go somewhere with this.
All right. I didn't go somewhere with the glow in the dark pacifiers. I wish I had. So I'm going with the clean your puss and clean your clit, clean your puss vibrator.
And mom, how are you going to clean your new innovation?
Using hashtag LubeLife's foaming toy cleaner.
Hashtag LubeLife not only makes the finest lubes out there, but they actually make an awesome foaming toy cleaner, which my mother stole from our studio.
I did, and I'm going to tell you why.
Every week, we start losing these lubes. And I'm like, where the hell did these go? Where did the anal silicone-based lube go?
I took that.
Where did the mint chocolate chip flavored lube go?
I took that.
And now where's the foaming toy cleaner?
I took that.
I'm left with nothing over here.
Oh, please. I left you with the watermelon. Did you like the taste of that?
I did try that. Felt like I was eating into a watermelon. I think I'm just going to start eating that for lunch.
Oh, God.
They're all made in a USDA certified organic facility, which is probably cleaner than most of the food that I'm eating.
For me, for sure.
There are some of the top ranked products on Amazon in the lubricant category for a reason. They come at the best value. We couldn't recommend them enough.
It's called hashtag LubeLife.
And right now, you can get 20% off all of your orders at lubelife.com when you use our promo code
20COOL. Mom.
That's 20 cool mom.
Use that code and you'll get 20% off. If you lube it, they will come.
Oh, hell yes. What are you most excited about in sex tech right
besides now? My product that yes. we just came up with? Up until now, hard, you had a different answer.
Hard to beat. Yeah. Now, in all other talks, I'll be using the clean your puss trademark invention, patent 2020. So I think the most exciting thing, the one that's going to have the biggest impact, is the stuff for sex education. Because as we all know, sex education is just so broken it's in horrible. This country, yeah. in my country, in Australia, in all, it's a global problem. So there's some interesting applications coming out that I think are teaching young kids and also, let's face it, adults that mm-hmm. need to know about sex education, just like your YouTube channel. So there's a couple of interesting ones. There's the VR aspect, which I think is going to be great. It's very early days, but we've been using VR in classrooms for topics like science and history lessons, and I think it would be great for sex ed lessons. And there's one at the moment which is pretty clunky, but there's one for adults called Virtual Sexology, which runs you through, for men, it runs you through a series of exercises in virtual reality to look at premature ejaculation or to, like, handle it.
Oh,
and for women,
check this out.
What a great idea.
Yes.
Another topic and we've covered on this podcast from time to time.
There we go. So there's that. And the women's virtual sexology program was designed by a sex therapist called Dr. Holly Richmond, who's amazing. And that program runs you through a series of things of getting in touch with your body, and you're using a vibrator. But it's great because it's so immersive and yet it's so private.
That's so wonderful. So many people have, I mean, the questions that we get on this and on my YouTube channel about simple things that I would think it's common sense that people just never got taught and they don't know. Right. And they learn from porn. And it's so wonderful that, like, the basics are covered there for men and women.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to see, and that's sort of where I'd like to go too, is like to start to do that at a young age, especially for young girls, the stuff we didn't get taught. And now today we have technology where, you know, everyone's sexting, everyone's sending nudes, and there's, you know, elements like revenge porn. Young girls don't know what to do with that or how to protect themselves.
And even, I think, was it your age or was it your brother's, that it was like in sixth or seventh grade, one of these girls was sending pictures of her vagina to the whole eighth grade class or whatever, and she got in big trouble. But it's just so sad that, you know, it could have been used as a, like, let's talk about this. Yeah. And no one talked about it. She just got in huge trouble and probably got suspended or something. And it's just a way that young girls are getting attention. Yeah.
And they, you know, they don't have parents like you where they can talk to their mums or their dads. Yeah. So anyway,
this is awesome.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything in the future that we wouldn't see now, but is going to be just like standard practice?
I mean, I think we're going to have, we probably see a little bit of this now, but entire relationships just conducted online. To your point about the fear of, like, we never have to meet in person or actually touch each other, we will see that, where people will have entire intimate relationships through online. So they'll meet online, they'll go on their first date and sit in a virtual movie theater together.
Wow.
Then they'll
God.
Have their first kiss. You can use the Kissinger, which is an app on your phone that has lips that you can kiss and feel the other person's kiss. You can obviously fight, have text wars or whatever through
digital. That's the best part of any relationship.
And then, you know, virtually break up. And so there you go. You could be with a partner.
It sounds like my relationship in a 5-minute nutshell.
No, this sounds horrible.
I know. So this is probably your fear come to life. And I think that will become a slightly standard practice adjacent to having relationships with people.
Terrifying. I can't stand it.
You know,
it.
And there's so many men out there, like this MGTOW, men going their own way. It's a group of men on the internet that have been burned or have had some really nasty relationships with women and lost a lot of money through divorce and alimony payments and child support. And they just hate women. They want to be away from women, but they still want to probably be sexually connected. This is perfect for those men.
Yep. And you know what? It's probably a man behind that posing as a woman.
What?
They're probably thinking they're having an online relationship with another woman, but it actually it's someone posing. You know, that's a man. Anyway.
I follow you.
Yeah,
and
you know what
I
I'm saying?
This is exactly what would be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have those bots that on apps that are just, they're not even women, they're just bots.
Yeah.
But that men think that they're women. It's
yeah.
Not that hard.
There's something about, it's the unseen connection between humans that cannot be replicated through technology.
Like pheromones. You can't do that.
Yes. This is the tip of the iceberg.
Eye contact, just all the mini facial movements that we do when we communicate, the way our body language works, those sort of things do get missed. And so that's why, so haptic technology is, if you would put on a suit that's fitted with sensors and it would mirror everything and create another version of you elsewhere, maybe in another room.
It's actually scary, kind of.
Yeah. I feel like I'm like an old grandpa.
You are hearing about
the young technology and be like, no, they can't do this. But is there something that's lost in, like, by involving tech in such a natural process? Besides, like, do you think this is the case?
Yeah, I think our ability to communicate is eroding because we're no longer having to rely on that so much, or rely on face-to-face communication.
Yeah.
And you certainly see that with young kids today, but also with adults. I mean, we much prefer, don't call me, I'll text you type thing.
Yeah.
And so I think this is sort of the first wave of how human behavior is changing, is our ability to communicate and form relationships is pretty bad, is suffering a lot.
Yeah, this is like, I read all these articles about how social media has prevented these kids from learning how to interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
This, and I think this is just the extension of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
And then as far as like monogamy is concerned, where do you think the future of monogamy is?
I think, again, it's kind of like the robots and cheating thing. I think there's going to be constant negotiations between people because the lines have already sort of blurred in Western world, like US and Australia and UK and stuff with monogamy. But I think it's only the beginning of that sort of stuff. We're still figuring out ourselves, what does monogamy mean?
I know. I saw one of your videos and I forgot who you were interviewing, and you guys were talking about this goes back to Christopher Ryan.
Oh yeah.
I got the name right. Sex at Dawn with the bonobos and how, can you explain a little about the evolution of monogamy?
I'm trying to remember which part of this.
Well, it's
the bonobos and chimps, one of them was not monogamous.
That would be the bonobos.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like then with the agricultural revolution.
Oh, right. Yeah, just how we sort of started becoming more monogamous. We moved from being nomadic humans and into this agricultural revolution where, while we divided up the land, we also divided ourselves up into families. So we would have one plot of land and your husband and wife there. And in order to control and regulate the society, we would put those two together. And the idea of monogamy was born there and reinforced by church and state, so that we could continue to form societies and the land was not broken up because everyone was fucking everyone else. You're like, no, this is your plot and this is where your children will inherit the same land.
And hence all the divorce came after that.
And waves after that. So, wow, it's been a while since I talked about that, but the agricultural revolution, and then there was the
industrial revolution.
Industrial revolution, that's right. And men went off to the factories and then they went off to war and women took their place. And then after the Industrial Revolution, there was this whole opening.
The hippie revolution or whatever. I don't know.
And that's where
that.
Free love came in. Yeah. And then, divorces became much more common.
So this tech revolution seems like it's part of this. It seems like it's a wave part of it. It's going to change monogamy for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Or what we think of as monogamous.
Yeah, I think we're constantly changing that idea.
On your show, you were talking about how we're in the fourth wave.
Thank you for that, by the way.
No, that's you've sparked some new ideas for me because I haven't thought about that for a while, and the connection back to the history. I've been so stuck in the future.
Yeah.
The history of sex tech could be a great
we just went through that.
Well, I'm saying another podcast for her to do.
Oh,
see, a refresher.
We have so much to cover now that we added more stuff on our plates. Jeez. Yeah.
Do you think that I kept hearing we're in the fourth wave of sex tech?
Yeah. At this or fourth point, wave of innovation.
I don't know. Yeah. I just heard fourth wave and I was like, is this what you're referring to in that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So was agriculture like first?
Agricultural, industrial, and then I want to say it's like the computer age. Now we're in this fourth wave, which is the everything's virtual, everything's emergent, everything's opening up, and whether that's borders, ideas about relationships, where we are on the planet, this is the fourth wave of innovation, and it's going to take a while for humans to catch up. There's always that cultural lag, right? Where technology is advancing so fast, we can move money now through Bitcoin, we can do all these different things, but culturally our behaviors are still like, what? We're not used to this.
That's the thing, is there's so many people that are still very conservative.
For me,
which is comfort too.
It's
safety,
it's
to have
safety,
that
and it's box tradition that
you're in.
This you reminded me of, I think it was like a Malcolm Gladwell book or something that I read that talked about how there's this tech lag time of where consciousness takes like a while for norms to catch up. And he talked about how, like, when the TV was first, when people first started getting TVs, they bring it right up to their kitchen table and eat while watching.
That's how my grandfather used to do it.
This is nuts. Eat while watching TV with the whole family, like the table, the TV as like another member of the family.
Amazing.
And then now it's people don't have TV on while eating most times. You know, it's definitely, you know, not a fifth or sixth member of the family.
It wouldn't fly in our household. I did not want a TV watching while we were eating.
I don't even want it in my fucking living room.
He doesn't even have a TV.
I have a TV. It's in my garage.
It's not operating.
Yeah.
I like TV. I'm a big TV person, but you don't have a TV either.
I don't have a TV. But what I was thinking about while you were describing that scenario of the dinner table and bring the TV up is, think about how we now are with our iPhones. You know, when I first came out, everyone would have an iPhone at the dinner table, and now there's this culture of like, that is not okay.
No.
Yeah.
Like, this is not how we use
But
you have to really be present and focused on that. If I go out to dinner with my boyfriend, both of us immediately sit down, next thing you know, I look at him, he's looking at me, and we're both on our phones. And what are we doing? Put these phones away. It's just automatic, because you sit down and you're like, put the phone out. Why? Yeah.
You know, I'm reading this great book by Sherry Turkle called The Art of Conversation. And she talks about the iPhones and going out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And if you are going out in any social situation, if you can see a phone, it doesn't matter if the screen's up or down. So it used to be like, oh, the screen's up, let's put the screen, like, face your phone down. If you can see a phone on the table, the depth of your conversation automatically reduces by some crazy percentage. It's like,
that makes sense, because 40%? It's like a third person at your third table. Person.
And even if it's like down or
not, minus
the
right
awareness
there.
That there's a phone is, and I was like, wow, damn, I gotta hide the phone.
Yeah.
Hide the phones.
Wait, why are you laughing?
Because I used to be in therapy for several years, and it was a tradition. I would come into the therapist's office, I would sit on the couch, and I would take out all of my keys, my wallet, my phone, and I'd like hide it in the couch under the pillows. And he'd be like, what is going on here? And I'm like, I just can't have any connection to the outside world.
Your car keys?
I don't even want to remember that I have the ability to drive and need to go somewhere else after this.
Yeah.
I need to remain so present here.
And this is before or after minutes. You told your therapist that he's not allowed to go to the bathroom.
This was a bad, this was probably around the same time.
You're like, you're on my clock now.
I was like, dude, we got 45 minutes together. We got a lot of shit to cover. I got no keys, no phone, and you're not peeing for these 45 minutes.
Let alone taking a shit.
Yeah, it was,
My gosh. That's great. Well, maybe the future is, maybe there is two camps. I'm like so inspired talking to you guys this, because I'm thinking maybe the future is that there is like one room in the house that's zero technology and the other room's got all the technology, or maybe there's two movements where, you know, we're already seeing this anti-tech movement where people are no longer buying iPhones, they're buying those flip phones.
Yeah.
And using them Monday to Friday and then changing their iPhone on the weekend when they can be social, or using them Monday to Friday 9 to 5 so that they're not distracted. So it's just fascinating the way we're adjusting to technology and this cultural lag.
I mean, I would love that, because I have a joke of my stand-up that's like, if I were to go to my physical mailbox as much as I go to my email box, I would look like such a fucking psycho. Just constantly
running
back and forth. It's nuts.
That's so good.
I need to get rid of this thing. I check it so much, there's no mail coming in.
I know. And I'm so disappointed too. I'm always checking. The first thing in the morning, wake up, I'm like, There is not one thing here that I even give a fuck about.
Yeah.
And, it, so and true. It's the first thing you do when you, and so I'm thinking to myself, if I'm doing that, most people are doing that. Why aren't I sending out emails every morning?
Totally.
That's when you get people's attention.
Right?
Yeah.
And some people say you're not even supposed to have your phone or your iPad or anything, even in the room when you're sleeping, because the waves interrupt your sleep. Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Me, I got my iPad, I got my computer, I got my phone. It's all sitting on my nightstand. It's the last thing before I go to bed. I look at it, I'm reading my book on my Kindle. It's like, it's crazy. I mean, no wonder I can't sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for you. Have you ever checked your phone during sex?
No, I have never done that. I'm okay. Very present during sex.
Okay. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I could, so. But I think a lot of people do.
They do. Yeah. It's always in the movies. Like as soon as they're done, up, both of them pick up the phone. Like now, that I might have done, though.
Right.
As soon as I'm done with sex, pick the phone up immediately. That I could see myself doing.
At the very least, I know that if a message comes through, I become aware of that message.
It takes you out.
Yes. Totally takes me out.
Yeah. During sex?
Yeah.
Why is your phone near you to hear a message?
Maybe it's in my pants that
you
are on
hear
the floor.
Something vibrating? And yeah. And it's usually a vibrator. In my case.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
This is a good question. I bet that affects our sex lives.
I used to have a rule when I was with my ex, no phones in the bedroom.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, you have to set boundaries, especially when you're with a partner that's not as focused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you let Gus in the bedroom?
Gus sleeps in the bed with us.
During sex?
During sex. He hates when we have sex. He just jumps off the bed. It's like he knows. I don't know how. He's got like psychic
He's an
ability.
Animal.
Yeah, he senses like something's going on. I don't like this. I'm out of here.
I'm in danger.
Yeah, this is going to be frightening.
I wonder if, I'm going off the rails here, but I do wonder if technology will start creating like Tamagotchi type pets for us to.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to.
Yeah.
It's so much easier. You don't have to feed them. You don't have to take them to the vet. You don't have to take them on walks. You don't have to clean up their shit.
They're not going
to
die necessarily.
They don't die. That I wouldn't mind. No, I'm just kidding.
In Japan, they do. Of course, it's Japan.
They have robotic.
Paro, the furry seal. So it's a cute looking seal. Doll thing, so it doesn't look like a real animal, but kind of does. Like the facial expressions are so cute, you have to look after it, and they use it in nursing homes for patients with Alzheimer's.
Oh my God.
And they report that the patients feel it's a seal, a furry seal.
Why wouldn't they have to, like a normal dog? Why are they putting a seal?
I don't know.
That would freak
any
old person out. They not only do they have Alzheimer's, they're going to start. Am I hallucinating? I'm now petting a seal. What is that? Can you imagine, like, my father would be like, I'm petting the, this is a nice little cat. No, it's not. It's a seal.
I really lost it now.
I'm really going to call the doctor because these drugs are not working.
Yeah.
Or maybe they are working.
Or maybe they're working too well.
But you were saying they've reported positive outcomes.
Yeah. Like increased feelings of contentment, less confusion.
Petting a
looking
seal.
After something.
Maybe we all just need to get seals.
Or a sea lion.
Fairy seal.
There's a difference between a
seal.
Damn,
now I need to.
Is it a seal?
I'm not
going
to Google it, but I feel like I need to confirm it's a seal. I've been talking about it like it's a seal for the last 3 years.
It could have been a sea lion. They're always confusing those two animals because you would think the seal would be the bigger one and the sea lion would be the smaller one, but I think it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Either way, having one of those in a nursing home is still confusing.
So confusing. Like, where am I? Am I on the Galapagos Islands? What is going on here?
Yeah.
It could really mess with someone's imagination.
Totally. So I want to know, how do you think sex tech has affected your sex life?
I think I've just discovered my body a lot more. I mean, I've had to try certain things and also be a lot more had to
force your hand on that one.
And also just, I mean, become a lot less judgmental. You know, I did sex therapy training without being a sex therapist, but went to their training for 4 days. And part of that was sexual attitude readjustment day. I don't know if you've ever talked about this on the show.
No.
So it's a full day. Most sex therapists have to do it before they're qualified. And it takes you through every dysfunction in the book. You're watching videos of people that have fallen in love with balloons, people that are passionate about wearing nappies, and every other thing you can think of in the darkest corners of your mind.
Oh,
and
we've thought of it. We've encountered it.
And that for me was probably the most full on thing where I was like, well, seen it all now. So now, yeah. And just realized, well, everyone's human, yeah. You know, and become a lot less judgmental around that. And then, of course, the technology has been amazing to just talk to people and get in touch with my own body and figure out, well, why the hell did they make that? Like, what's that for? What does that mean?
Well, people are going to be asking a lot about why my electric toothbrush also has
a
vibrating head on
genius.
It. Genius.
I'll be a
spokesperson.
A
little rabbit on the top.
Yep.
That is interesting. So
maybe you should go to one, do a podcast from there.
Oh, we should totally do that.
Mm. This sounds very fun.
Mm. And I can bring up a few examples of things they haven't heard of. So,
just prepare yourself.
So any guy that dates you has to be okay with trying and venture some new technology.
Yeah, yeah. That's one impact I think that it's had is that people think automatically they're either like, oh my God, no, I'm so, you know, intimidated, or they're like, well, now we're going to be swinging off the chandeliers and some robots are going to come out like the side of the wardrobe or so, you know, so there's these expectations of me. So it's interesting, but I think the majority of men that I now date are pretty open, but also I get a lot of messages from people who just want to tell me their problems, as I'm sure you do.
Oh, we,
right?
We definitely do.
Because there's no one else to go to. People don't talk about sex with anyone.
And they say they're embarrassed. And that's why we do our podcast, actually, because we want to break down that those walls, because people should not be embarrassed.
I know. This is the
thing.
Talk
about it.
Yeah.
It's crazy the level of messages from 16-year-olds mm-hmm. to people in their 60s, and you get them on LinkedIn. I was like, LinkedIn? You're sending me messages on LinkedIn?
Is this a business website?
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, being like having to have weekly sex discussions is like, it's on the tip of my mind at all times now, because despite very rarely having it.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird catch-22. I'm very enmeshed in this world, and yet it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm having it all the time. Mm. Have you felt this juxtaposition? Like, has it made you more of a sexual person, or like?
Yes, for sure. It's made me more comfortable with my sexuality,
mm-hmm.
which has meant that I've felt more permission to be sexual mm-hmm. and less like the shame thing. I think I was carrying that around for 16 years, and then I was like, why?
Yeah.
Look at all these incredible women, and I think the women was a big thing for me, in sex tech, that are owning their sexuality, that are proud, and that don't give a fuck. And I was like, yeah, I want to be like that.
I bet a lot of our listeners would identify with what you're saying right now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any techniques or things that you have done to shed that shame?
Or have you talked to your parents and changed their philosophies?
Well, the parents, that was a big one. They're the one, that's where I learned these ideas about, I guess, shame, or like no sex till you're married.
Was
so
it like a religious thing, or is it more cultural?
No, it's just I think it's a cultural thing in Australia. It's a bit conservative, similar to here maybe. So they were quite shocked when suddenly I was talking about it, and then suddenly I was, you know, at festivals talking about it in keynote, and they're like, what happened to Microsoft?
we can relate to those kind of talks.
Yeah. But what was your question? Oh, like any tools or techniques? I think I just decided to drop it all. You know, I had this really good chat with one of my close friends who runs the Center for Erotic Intelligence. She's great. You should have her on the show.
What's her name?
Mal Harrison. And she talked to me about the power of the pussy. And she just sat me down one day and she's just like, listen, Bridie, you need to realize the power of the pussy. You walk into the room, you've got the power. Stop trying to drop it or people please or have, you know, or be that person for a man. It's like, you have to realize the power that you have in your pussy. She's like, I wish I knew this at 21, at 16, but you have all the power.
I love this. Mal Harrison, guest on our show.
She's got it, babe. So that just really landed for me. And then being surrounded by women that were comfortable to talk about this stuff, and now very much men as well, I was just like, what the hell? Like, it just really helped those conversations more than any technology. Mm-hmm. It was just having those sort of conversations and being surrounded by people that have that attitude that helped me go, oh, this is fine.
Yeah.
So is it more than just sex? Is it in terms of, do you give little fucks about anything as long as you feel like it's coming from authentic part of
you? Yeah, I think the sex is the core part, right? Mm-hmm. The sex was like the core part of how we go out in the world, our sexuality, our identity, how, but that is the ripple effect across now. Not entirely. Still working on it.
Yeah.
I'd still like to give less fucks.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. We do give a little too many fucks, even though that's in our manifesto. Give no fucks.
I like that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have to wrap things up right now. But we'll stay on for a little extra to do a little Patreon bonus episode for anyone who's interested in hearing more from Briani. And how could they find you if they want to see your
work? If you look up Future of Sex anywhere, it's going to end in me.
That's so awesome.
That's pretty cool.
But futureofsex.org is the website, and then Future of Sex on all social stuff.
Awesome. And your podcast is awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Great.
You've terrified me, but it'll be good. It'll be fine.
You've inspired me.
You've inspired me. Now I need to do the history episode.
Hell yes. One more thing. I know it's really hard to find sex positive podcasts. And so I wanted to introduce you to one of my favorite ones. It's called Shameless Sex. It's hosted by Amy and April. April's a motivational speaker, a sex toy mogul, and one of the leading women in the sex toy industry. And Amy is a certified somatic sex and relationship coach, as well as a trained sex educator. And the two of them talk about their own sex lives. They give the phenomenal advice and stories. Cannot recommend them enough. Here is their trailer of Shameless Sex.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast. I'm Amy, sex educator and sex and relationship coach.
I'm April, VP of a high-end international sex toy company. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings. Each week, we bring you world-renowned experts to help you have the sex life you've always wanted.
And guess what? We are still learning too. That means you also get a sneak peek into our own sexcapades. Like that one time when April shares her story about losing her anal virginity.
Ooh, or that one time when Amy shares all about her daddy issues and how she likes to be dominated in the bedroom.
You mean every time? Oh, how about that one time when April was on a mission to learn how to squirt?
Hey, thank you, Kegels. Subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts and join us every Tuesday for unabashed real talk that will teach you some things that will blow your mind, have you crying with laughter,
and probably get you a little turned on.